On the occasion of baptism, I've been preaching a short series out of the book of Proverbs under the general theme I didn't put on the outline, but Proverbs for Parenting. And we look generally at the calling that God gives to us as parents and the high calling to teach and instruct our children. Well, we continue that series this morning looking at what the book of Proverbs has to say about discipline and using the rod. We're going to read some passages in the book of Proverbs, but before that, I'd like us to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, we'll read the first 11 verses. That gives the theological foundation for why we as parents are called to discipline our children, because God chastens us. Hebrews 12. This is the word of God. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and that's referring back to Hebrews 11 and those who have gone before in the Old Testament, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And we stop our reading there and now turn to the book of Proverbs, to the three different passages we'll consider as our text this morning. First of all, Proverbs 13, verse 24. Proverbs 13, verse 24. This emphasizes the love with which the rod should be used. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes, or in good time, or early is the idea. Then Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, verse 15. We read there, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And then turning to Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. It was many years ago when our family was on vacation in Colorado, and we were at a certain tourist attraction that we saw a very clear example of what not to do in parenting, and you've probably seen many of them yourselves out in the world. There was a little boy who was running around wild. You can picture it. And the mom was trying to get this child under control. And finally the parent said to her child, "If you don't stop that by the time that I count to three, that's going to be your second warning." And maybe with me you're saying, "Really? A parent said that?" And you can imagine what happened. Did the child stop? Nope. Didn't even acknowledge that his mom had spoken to him. Why not? Well, the child knew that nothing was going to happen. How many warnings were there going to be? So sure enough, she counts to three. One, two. If I'm not mistaken, she even used the 2.5 and 2.75 maybe. And none of it worked. And it's very clear that there is no rod that backed up the words of that parent. Now we can look at that scenario and think, that wouldn't happen to me, that wouldn't happen to us. But I can look back at my own parenting, and there are extremes that we fall into, and one of them is that we get lax. The yes doesn't mean yes, the no doesn't mean no, and our kids know it. We slack off in this, and thus they know that they don't have to obey us when we tell them what they are to do. Maybe you have a child that throws fits in the store or throws fits when they have to leave home or leave grandpa and grandma's house, and you're at a loss at what to do. The Bible has something to say about this. Maybe your child isn't like that, but maybe your child just says no to you or pretends that he or she doesn't hear you. And of course, there are other children who you just raise your voice a little bit, or you look at them with a stern look and they obey. They have a much different nature. But the Word of God says that we are to deal with sin in the lives of our children with the rod. God calls us to inflict pain lovingly upon our children so that they learn to obey us, and more importantly, so that they learn to obey God Himself. That's the point of the rod. And the question is for us as we consider that is, do we believe this? Do we believe that what God says in His Word is true when it comes to the instruction of our children and even the discipline of our children? So often we can become very pragmatic. We think about what works. And we try something a couple of times and we say, well, it doesn't work. But the question then might be, well, are we using it in the way that God wants us to use it? Are we doing it in the way that God calls us to do it? But we have to always remember that God's way is the right way, and it doesn't mean immediate results, but He does call us to be faithful as we train and rear up these children. I recognize for those who have their first child, they're not thinking too much about discipline yet, but it comes. And those of you who have children who are a little bit older, you know that it does and how important that is. So this is a word of God to encourage us in this calling that we have. God's way of dealing with sin in the lives of our children. This is God's calling to us because this is the very way in which He deals with us. He chastens us. That's what we read this morning in Hebrews 12. He does that individually. He does that as a church. He can do that even as a denomination. As we heard recently, Professor Heising is speaking to us about, if you've listened to the RFPA speech, if you went to it or listened to it after the fact. This is the way our Heavenly Father deals with us in love, and thus we are to reflect that in our parenting. So with that in mind, we consider this morning using the rod of correction, noticing three things. That first of all, it's used to drive out folly. Secondly, it is an expression of love. The world would say, no, it's not, but it is when it's done in the right way. And then finally, trusting Jehovah that He works through this. This is what discipline is. Discipline is the loving way to correct the foolishness that is bound in the hearts of our children. Discipline is the loving way to correct the foolishness that is bound in the hearts of our children. That's what we read in Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. This passage teaches us that the rod of correction drives away this foolishness. Now, this implies that all of our children have folly or foolishness bound up within them. And it's not just our children. It's we as parents as well. We have foolishness bound up in our hearts. It's true for those who are covenant children, those who are chosen by God, those who are redeemed with the blood of Jesus Christ, those who are regenerated by the Holy Spirit. They have folly and foolishness bound up within them. The passage here is speaking about the heart. The heart is part of the inner man. And out of it are the issues of life. In our brief series here in Proverbs for Parenting, we looked at the heart and saw that we're called to guard the heart. And as parents, we're called to address the heart in our parenting, not just behavior, but also to address the heart, the inner man. Because all of our words, all of our actions, all of our behavior flows out of the heart. And when we're talking about the heart, we're talking about worship. What we worship at any one time and any one moment in our lives, what's most important in our lives, that's reflected in what we say and in what we do. And so the heart is the source of that. The passage here is saying that there is foolishness bound up within the heart. And that word bound has the idea of tied to it. There's the positive idea of something tied to us in our hearts in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs 6, verse 20. When it says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck." Bind and tie. So the idea of tying the commandments of God around our necks and to have them as well in our hearts. Proverbs 7 deals with that as well in verse 3. Bind them. The commandments of God, bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. But along with the commands of God, tied to our heart as the people of God, we also have this foolishness that is tied to our hearts. And what it's talking about here is that depraved nature that we all have. So last week, the occasion of baptism, we looked at total depravity. In the Heidelberg Catechism, and looked how bad it is. And baptism reminds us of that as well, that we and our children are conceived and born in sin. And that's exactly why we need washing. We need the washing of the blood of Jesus Christ and the washing of the Holy Spirit in regeneration and conversion and sanctification. We know, we acknowledge this morning that our children are conceived and born in sin. They are subject to all miseries and they deserve condemnation. There's foolishness that is bound in the hearts of our children. Now, what is that foolishness? That foolishness is not simply their lack of understanding. Their lack of understanding. Sometimes they don't understand that something's going to be harmful for them. If the burner on the stove is on, they don't understand right away at a certain age that to touch that means they're going to be burned. They don't understand when they're very little that to touch mom's curling iron after she uses it is going to hurt them. They don't understand sometimes when they're very little. They see a swimming pool and it looks like great fun. They don't understand that they could drown in that swimming pool. They can't think that far ahead. They don't understand those things. So sometimes maybe they will jump right in. That's not the foolishness of which the text is speaking. Instead, it's the foolishness of sin, the foolishness which is the opposite of wisdom. That foolishness is revealed in the lives of our children
when in some of those instances where they could hurt themselves, they could touch the stove and be burned, they could touch the curling iron and be burned, they could jump in the pool without a life jacket and drown. And we say to them, no, don't touch, don't jump. And they do it anyway. That's foolishness. Because at that moment, and you can think of a thousand other ways in which that foolishness is shown, but in that moment, they think that they know better than you. I'm going to decide for myself what is right, and I'm going to do what I want. That's the foolishness of a child. The stubbornness and the rebellion that can be found there. The selfishness and the pride that is found there as well. The disobedience that is found there. And we see that folly in the lives of our children in so many ways. Therefore, it's good for us in our parenting to pause at times and to ask ourselves the question, where do I see folly in my child, in my children? Not just in a general way, but where do I see the particular ways in which they're struggling with folly in their lives at the particular age that they are, whether they're very small or even held in our arms yet, or they're getting bigger and they have their driver's license and they're out on their own, but there's still folly that is there, just like there is folly in us. Where do we see that? But we also have to see and understand that sin is called folly here because the end is destruction. That's Proverbs 23, verse 14. Where it says, thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. But that's in the end where this foolishness goes. It goes to destruction, to hell itself. That's the only way that folly leads. The only way that sin leads to, it's to hell and the wrath of God forever. This folly is bound up in the hearts of our children. What drives this folly away? We want to know that. What drives folly away from the hearts of our children? The passage is teaching the rod of correction with instruction. The rod of correction with instruction. Now you might come to me and say, but Pastor, I thought the only one who can save us from our sin is Jesus Christ. Now you're saying that a rod can save my child with instruction? I'm not saying that the rod saves our children, and this passage is not saying that the rod saves our children. It is certainly true that Jesus Christ is the only one who saves our children, just like he is the only one who saves us. But we can say it this way. Jesus Christ changes children by the means of biblical discipline, which is spanking and other appropriate consequences for sin. The one who saves our children is Jesus Christ. He's the only one who saves from the folly of sin. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 brings that out. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There's this newness only in Jesus Christ. He delivers from the punishment of sin, and it's his Spirit that changes the hearts of those who belong to him. Sin and its consequences, discipline and its consequences, all of themselves do not change the hearts of children by themselves. But here's the place of biblical discipline. It's the means that God uses to open the ears and open the hearts of our children. I'll say that again because it's so important. Biblical discipline is the means Jesus Christ uses to open the ears and the hearts of our children. Through that means, he opens their ears to hear the gospel. But also, he opens their ears because it's a reminder to the child not to repeat this sinful behavior. It's part of it. The pain of it reminds them not to continue in their sinful behavior. And thus the text speaks of the rod of correction. Correction means to correct with blows, and that's done with a rod. And notice that the Proverbs speak of a rod, not our hands. So a rod could be a wooden spoon, it could be a small stick. This is the wisdom of God. I believe firmly that this is the wisdom of God. Parents, don't use your hands. You have to inflict much more force because our hands are bigger to bring pain to their backside, but it also can hurt us. You can more easily injure your child using a hand because of the force that it takes to inflict some pain. The Bible says use the rod and use that rod on the backside. It's the part of the body that can receive such a blow. So to strike a child on their head, to strike them in their abdomen, to strike them on their back, it's abuse. It's not the place that God has ordained for that rod to be used. Not only that, but it can injure our children in a wrong way. But there's the flesh on the backside that you can feel the pain, but there's no injury that comes from that. There's no damage that comes from that. So use the rod of correction, and that's when our children are young until they're adults. Scriptures speak of a child up to about the age of 12 or 13 years old. So a child is a child from the time they learn to understand commands, you say no, and they understand it, usually before they're 1 year old, to the time they're about 12 or 13. And that doesn't mean discipline stops after that, but it means we wouldn't use spankings anymore after that. But instead, we might use other consequences. It would inflict some pain, taking away the car keys, saying you mayn't go out this night, or something else, taking something else away that is important from them, or taking privileges away from them. You're not going to play in the ball game because of what you did. So we're to use that kind of discipline with our children. But one other thing to understand about the rod of correction drives out folly when accompanied by reproof and instruction. Proverbs 29, verse 15, emphasizes that. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. The rod and reproof give wisdom. There are times with our children that we only use reproof. But there must never be a time when we only use the rod. The rod must always be accompanied with instruction, so that there's an explanation to them of their sin, an explanation of why we spank them, and an explanation of the mercy of God. Did you get those three things? An explanation of their sin, an explanation of why we spank, and an explanation of the mercy of God. What this guards against is a reactionary use of the rod. We know that reactionary use. I know that reactionary use. Those times maybe when a child touches something that he shouldn't and mom says, no, don't touch. And what do? They touch again. Maybe it's a hot cup of coffee in the morning. And you tell them not to touch because if it spills, it could burn them. It could hurt them. But they go and touch again. So sometimes maybe what we do instead of yelling at it like we should, just move the coffee cup. Or they head towards the electrical outlets. It seems like kids are just intrigued with outlets in the wall. And they want to touch that, and we're concerned about them being shocked. So we say, don't touch it. And then they check if we're looking or not, and then right away they head right for it again, ready to touch it. And so what we do instead of disciplining them, we pull them away again, or maybe put something in front of it. We have to see and understand that that's not right, the right way to deal with it. And then what can happen after that is then finally they do it again and again and again, and finally we lose it on them because we've reached our limit. We've had it. They've crossed the line. We're furious. We yell at them. We give them a swat in the butt. And then they're crying. I've done it.
I know what it's like. But the scriptures warn against this in Proverbs 18, verse 19, which says, a brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city. Think of a strong city under attack. And those in that city are going to do everything they can to resist the attack. One who is offended does that. That's what we do with our children. We offend them when we discipline in that way. We offend them. And they're very hard to be won. So we must give instruction when we use the rod. Instruction that goes something like this. The child disobeys. Maybe they're even crying. We have to get them calmed down first. Give the instruction, I would say, normally first. You've disobeyed, Mom. I told you not to do this, or I told you to do this, and you did not, or you did it anyway. Because you disobeyed, I must spank you. And I must do that because God calls me to. And this is how many times that I'm going to do it. And then we teach them from Scripture why what they did was wrong. This is what you did, and this is wrong before God. And God says now he must discipline you for that. But at the same time, we should also bring them the gospel, the mercy of God. Son, daughter, this is exactly why we need a Savior, and God has sent his Son to die for the sins of his people. He's punished his Son so that you and I don't have to go to hell. We have a Savior who went through this hell in our place. And so we must be sorry for our sins and confess those sins. And God does forgive, and I forgive you. But I also have to discipline you so that you remember not to walk in this sin anymore. You see, calm, patient instruction. Not always easy. At times, very difficult. Because our patience has run out. But that's the wisdom of the rod and reproof. We must give this kind of instruction to our children and then spank them with that instruction or give other consequences with that instruction, because that is the means Jesus Christ uses to drive folly, foolishness, out of their hearts. But also we see and understand from these passages that the use of the rod in this way is an expression of love. Not just our love for our children, but an expression of God's love for them. We learn from God himself that disciplining with the rod is an activity of love. The Lord disciplines those whom he loves. This is what sets chastening apart from punishment. So sometimes with our children, we talk about punishing them. Technically, that's not the correct word. We don't punish them. Punishing is repaying them for what they have done. Punishing them is hot displeasure for sin. Chastening is different. It's the chastening of love. That's what we read of this morning in Hebrews chapter 12. Now, the ultimate demonstration of God's love, we know, is found in Jesus Christ. When all our sins were punished on the cross, where the blood of Jesus was shed, and baptism, of course, points us to that blood of Christ. And because of that, there's no wrath of God for us, and that's why chastening is so much different than punishment. God does not punish us, his people, for our sins. He has done that already when Jesus, our Savior, hung on the cross in our place. We've been purchased by Christ's shed blood. So chastening is not that. It's not repaying our sins, but it's reforming us. God doesn't punish us for our sins with discipline. It's never about retribution, vengeance, or embarrassing us. The purpose of God's chastening is to correct, to work dynamic spiritual change of heart, mind, and life. He's not interested in behavior modification with us. He wants true righteousness, true holiness. That's what we read in Hebrews 12 as well. The fruit, the peaceable fruit of righteousness is the fruit of God's work of disciplining us, of chastening us. He disciplines us to make us more like himself.
in holiness and in righteousness. And let's not forget, beloved, it's not just our children who need chastening. We all do. I do as a parent. Doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. We all need chastening from God. There's so much greed, so much covetousness, so much pride, so much selfishness that is still found within us. We lack self-control, godliness, and holiness, but God is perfecting us through suffering. How important for us to know right now that when we know the love of God as a church and churches, and even as individuals, we know that God is perfecting us through chastening. He's working in us spiritual growth, and it only takes place through discipline. And that continues through the whole of our lives. With that as the background, that's how we are to look at these passages in the book of Proverbs, and then specifically in Proverbs 13, verse 24, which emphasizes this love. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Every time I spared the rod and didn't use it when I should have, I was saying, I hate my child. That's what it says there. But on the other hand, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Now, with the use of the rod, there are two dangers, of course, for us. The one is we don't use it. The one is we don't discipline our children. Maybe we correct, but we don't discipline. Think of Eli with his two sons. Maybe we correct them like Eli did, but we never get to the point of disciplining them. We know that patience is a good virtue, but our patience at times can become misguided, so that we allow our children to disobey without disciplining this disobedience, and they get away with that, and that's what they learn. And it's not just they learn not to obey you, they learn not to obey God himself. That's the seriousness of that. There's also the danger here that there are all kinds of theories about parenting that are found in the world. And you can go to a bookstore and you can go to Amazon and you can find all kinds of books about parenting. They'll even be mixed with some Christian ideas of parenting, and you'll find these ideas and you'll say, oh, that's a great way to do it. I never thought of it like that. But I think I mentioned that before. There are books that talk about how you can basically manipulate your child into obeying you. Letting them think that they're actually making the decision when you're really kind of guiding them through the whole decision process. All that does is it feeds the pride and the selfishness that is found within them. That's not what God calls us to do in our parenting. Not find some new way, the latest fad in parenting in the world today, and go with that. We have the tried and true, tested Word of God and the way of parenting that is found right here. Reproof. And instruction, reproof and the rod. Instruction and the rod and discipline that God gives us. So that's that one extreme, that we don't use it. The other danger is that we discipline in an unrighteous anger, in an uncontrolled rage. We let our children get away with disobedience and they push our buttons and finally we've had it. And I talked about that a bit earlier. Maybe there's some combination of these two. Or some don't discipline because they've seen the abuse of discipline. And they say, I'm not going to do that. So they get rid of discipline altogether. They throw out the baby with the bathwater, as the saying goes. So we need to hear from the Word of God. This is the way God calls us to do that. And we're to do that in love. What do we want more than anything else for our children? You parents, who've had your children baptized this morning, what do you want more than anything else? You want your children to be holy. You want your children to know God and love God and love others, because that's what God commands in His Word. But very easily we fall into it thinking, well, what I really want is my life to be easier. And what's going to make my life easier? And we make our parenting decisions based on that. We have to remember the ultimate goal and end is holiness for our children, and God accomplishes that through instruction and through discipline. God says that there's a connection between their backside and their heart. Their backside and their heart. And God says this is the loving means to drive folly from them, and they need that because there's folly in their hearts. So one other thing to remember then when we discipline our children, make sure you tell them, I do this because I love you. I do this because I love you. I don't enjoy this at all, but I do it because I love you. And then when we discipline them, we should not push them away. We should not show rage in what follows from it, but hold them. Embrace them. Tell them how much we love them. And teach them about the love of God. That God in his love, he does the same thing. And that's where this love is put into action in the discipline of our children. If we discipline in a rage, we must not be surprised that our children would run from us. That they'd maybe run to the room and say, I hate you. I know children who have done that. That doesn't mean that parents have necessarily disciplined in the wrong way. But our goal is not to make them angry. Our goal is not to offend them. We discipline them in love, inflicting pain in love, trusting that God uses this as a means to bring them to holiness and godliness in their lives. And then after that, pray with them. It's a wonderful opportunity for us as parents to pray with our children, to pray that God would forgive them, to pray that they would know the mercy of God, that pray that God would give them the strength to overcome sin in their lives. And of course, this instruction I'm talking about becomes more and more as they get older, and when they're very young and disobeying, there won't be much of that or as much of that. But the final thing we want to see this morning is that we're to trust that this is Jehovah's way to accomplish his purifying purpose in the lives of our children. And that's the question, do we trust in this way? When we look at Proverbs 23, verse 14, notice what it says. It's strong. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. It's not saying the more you do it, the more you'll be able to do that. It's not saying the harder you do it. That's not what it's saying. But it's saying that when we use the rod, God will use that to save our children from hell. Again, that doesn't mean you save them from hell by beating them with the rod. But God is pleased to use that to accomplish his purpose. Beloved, that's the question. In the day and age in which we live, do we trust this way that God gives in his word? Maybe not thought of it that way before, but discipline is a matter of trust in God. And there are times when we want to go away from what God says, and what we're saying by that is, I really know better than God. Who would dare say that? This God who needs no counsel, this God who needs no advice, this God who knows everything, this God who is truth. So we see and understand we need to trust in the way that God sets before us in his word. So the idea then is that in that trust we administer this tool of discipline with a concern for their souls. It's going to hurt them. But there's a greater hurt that we're trying to spare them from as God uses this means. You think about that with the example of a child jumping in the pool without a life jacket on. And what parent, when their child jumps in the pool without the life jacket on and they're right there, would say, oh no, I can't grab him or her out of the pool because I might hurt him or her when I yank him up by his arm. He might get hurt, but that's better than him drowning. And that's the idea here too. Discipline is going to hurt, But this is better than what the end is without discipline. And that is the destruction of hell itself. So may God now strengthen us as parents to discipline our children. Maybe, like me, you're catching yourself now and you're saying, I haven't been faithful. I haven't been doing this like I should. And maybe it's all overwhelming. But pray about these things. Ask God to forgive you. Ask your children to forgive you. Establish a new week, a new way of doing things. This is the way we're going to do things now. My yes means yes. My no means no. And if you disobey, I'll maybe give you one warning this week, but after that, you have to obey right away and implement that and put it into practice and pray with your children and tell them that you love them and explain the mercy of God and trust that God will bring the desired fruits in the end, the peaceable fruit of righteousness and holiness. Trust in Him. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for the instruction of thy word concerning discipline and the instruction of our children. It's a high calling, a monumental task. And Father, there's so much folly in our own hearts as parents, but give us strength to be faithful, to teach them and instruct them in thy ways. And we pray then that another generation would rise up in the church that loves thee, that loves Jesus Christ and walks in holiness and in godliness. Protect us, Father, from laxity. Protect us also from anger, unrighteous anger and rage. And forgive us when we've fallen into these two ditches. Go with us in our fellowship this morning. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.